My guest today, Michelle Lee, a veteran broadcaster, 26-plus years behind this microphone that you click off and on so that all of you wonderful people out there can participate in what's coming over the air. Michelle Lee is an award-winning broadcaster. She's at WOBL, which is a station, I think, physically located, I think, Lorain County, Cleveland, Lake Erie, that part of Ohio. We're going to talk to Michelle Lee. She's become a good friend of mine over the years. I really enjoy visiting with her. Her first gig, by the way, she'll tell you this, but I think it's appropriate to tell you now, her first gig was overnights. So you're going to hear, starting off this section, Sam Bush All Night Radio. That'll get us right into our discussion with my friend, fabulous broadcaster Michelle Lee. I'm very happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass today the real Michelle Lee. But before I say hello to Michelle and let Michelle say hello to the audience, Michelle Lee is one of the stalwart on-air talents, and I mean that from behind a microphone. The people that go to the radio stations day in and day out and do live radio, play music for the audiences, very successful at what she does, and I've known Michelle for several years now, and I just thought this would be an interesting thing. I want to talk to Michelle about all of those things that she is, this high-caliber, very successful on-air personality. I want to get into the radio station. I want to get into a little bit, Michelle, about how you got into radio. But first, welcome, and thanks so much for being on Unreal Bluegrass.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's kind of real and unreal, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you. I always enjoy when anyone can use the title and fit it into the thing. Michelle, you're day-to-day. You are a radio broadcaster. You're a disc jockey. Still, I don't think that's a bad term, but you're The real thing. You're behind a microphone, and first I want to get into where you are currently. I know you've had a career. Every radio broadcaster that I know has changed and moved around a little bit, but explain where you are right now. It's an odd thing. It's simulcast on two different frequencies to get both of those in, and then I think the area up in Ohio.
Yeah, it's WOBL. We're actually located outside of the Oberlin, city of Oberlin, down the road from actually Oberlin College. The station's located right there, and not too, about a half hour out of Cleveland, kind of like in a nice smack dab cornfield and that. It's a radio ranch that I've been part of now going in 26 years. It's definitely been it's been surreal, that's for sure. But, yeah, we stream AM and FM and, of course, now worldwide with being online in our mobile app. So
yeah.
It's kind of unique.
I know, Michelle, and this is not a video format that I use here. I can't believe you've been doing this for 26 years. I know you have the skills that certainly show that, but I know you well enough. And so I'm assuming that you started when you were, 10?
Yeah, a lot of people think, it was a young kid, not even in my teens yet. But, I actually started not too long after my 18th birthday. It's kind of, sometimes I kind of pinch myself and like, really? I've been doing this for how long? But yeah, after high school, it was, I kind of just jumped right into it not too long after I turned 18, and not too long after being in broadcasting school, got my internship at WOBL, one of three internships I had at the time. And then they hired me in, even before I graduated. So,
wow. So you 26 years is a long time in any business. I think it's a long time from what I learned, in the radio business. So you've been in it through a lot of changes.
Definitely a lot of changes. What's kind of unique and interesting is, the technology change.
Yeah.
You think about it, you think back 26 years, I wouldn't be working with reel to reel or cards or records, in the studio, but we were. The WOBL had it all. And then seeing the transformation into digital. And it's just unique, and so much has definitely evolved in the broadcasting world, and, even just marketing alone.
Well, yeah, okay. You're good at that. So I might get back into some of the technical evolution that you've described, because where we are right now is not where we're going to be a year from now, even.
Exactly.
But the marketing now is you know, you're on a real radio station, and I say that, and I mean that you're broadcasting to an audience. It's a commercial radio station, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So your marketing gets to be, you need to catch up with all of the different social media. I mean, it's no longer just, you know, putting an ad in a local newspaper. You've got to compete in a market where everybody has, for not a lot of money invested, can have access to these same sort of marketing weapons or tools.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. You know, you try to help your clients. And as being on air, and like you said, you know, I'm just not a one day kind of person. I'm there literally 6 days a week, and some days I'm there 8 hours or more. Just, you know, doing my on air stuff, and then I do marketing and promotions, and I also handle some sales, as well. I mean, it's kind of unique, but it's kind of amazing how you can implement, the technology today in the social media platforms to help the client to advertise on the radio, to, you know, advertise them on those platforms as well as you as a on-air person, and make it work for the radio station.
When many, many years ago, there was a jazz station in Cincinnati that floated in the river in these big oil drums, and I visited there a couple of times. This goes way back into the 70s. And I visited there a couple of times, and there would be a person on air that I knew from listening, and another person that I knew from listening downstairs, working and preparing. So your day then isn't just click on a microphone and be Michelle Lee introducing songs. You have a lot of things to do before and after the broadcast. You hinted at a little bit of those things for the marketing, but a typical day, you're on what, 6 hours?
I'm on, so Monday through Friday with the Smoke Country Jam, I'm on from 7 a.m. till noon, so I'm on the air 5 hours there, and then Sundays is Bluegrass Borderline,
right?
And that's from noon till 5, so yeah, I mean, it's hours in it, but, you know, it doesn't just go from turning on the mic and then turning it off after those hours. You know, you got to do show prep, you got to create your playlist in some aspects. I am the program director for the Bluegrass Show. Now, of course, I work with our program director with the country format, because we play the classic country throughout the rest of the days when I'm not doing the bluegrass. So, you know, I'm learning that aspect, too, to be able to implement, you know, songs from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, 80s, and current music, but making it flow well. So, you know, that takes time, and, you know, learning how to make that happen. It's always a learning day every day.
Do you sometimes, if you just tune in, I'm talking to Michelle Lee, a broadcaster from up in Ohio, around Cleveland, so to speak, at a station, WOBL. Do you, when you're lining up songs, are you aware of the sound and the tempo changes and how things, when you talk about flowing programming from making it work, is there an intent not to have too many fast songs in a row so that it gets boring and not have too many slow? But what's your thought process on that?
You know, I think I gotta admit, it kind of varies day to day.
I think that's the correct answer. Go ahead. I know.
I mean, it seriously is, because one day, I mean, we are also a request station. So we take calls. I talk to the listeners, whether they're calling me up on the phone, they're sending me emails, or sending us messages through our mobile app. So I'm hearing from them. I want to make sure I play as much as what they would like to hear as well. So putting them in the right spot. So you have to know the music to be able to do that. And, you know, you don't want, like you said, you don't want too many slow songs in a row. You don't want to, but you also don't want it to go from fast to slow. You want to kind of do that medium in between to kind of bring the flow, just like how I do it on the Bluegrass Borderline.
Right.
because, you know, when you play traditional to the contemporary to the newgrass to old-time music, it has to flow right. So you don't lose an audience, and I think that's what's very important in any genre of radio stations, because you don't want to lose your audience, but you don't want to alienate them either, you know, and tell them, oh, you're only going to listen to this dial, you know, but no, you want them to listen to everything, so they don't change that dial.
Yeah. So country classics, and I kind of know what that is, but I'm not very versed at all in that type of music. So when you're talking, I recognize it when I hear it, but I could never program a show of all those great country songs. I know them, but I could never say, I'm going to put a show and I'm going to put in this thing from this. So you're growing up, when you made that decision that you were going to go to broadcasting school, what kind of music were you listening to?
Everything, honestly. Growing up, my parents listened to, you know, the good music of Neil Diamond and Barry Manilow to Eddie Arnold to Jim Reeves. They had a great selection of things that they always were having on the radio for us growing up. And for me particularly, I kind of still was listening to that. It's kind of funny when I think about high school and playing sports, and we would travel from, you know, softball games or basketball games, because I was very athletic in high school. I had a nickname, and it's not your typical nickname, because I listened predominantly to country, but not solely country. But my teammates would call me Cornbread because I listen to country music. But I will have to say this, and this is what cracks me up even more. To this day, when, you know, I'm going to events to MC, or I'm going backstage to meet an artist, and then all of a sudden I turn and I notice I see someone from high school who used to call me a Cornbread, and I kind of just chuckle. It's like, aha, now you like this music.
I still, it's a neat that you were in high school and you made those. That's okay. So you're listening to lots of music when you travel around. Your parents have music, but that's a whole different turn. From that to turning the switch to saying, I want to do that. I want to be that.
Well, and it's funny, Steve. I predominantly didn't want to. This wasn't my first choice of a career. I was actually in high school. I was all set to attend Pikeville University there in Kentucky on a athletic scholarship to continue my softball career. And unfortunately, you know, finances came in a big part of, you know, my next step. And it's kind of neat to still see that acceptance letter because I worked my tail off in high school, you know, because I wasn't the greatest student. I just did not test well. If the way they test now, and I can have someone individually, you know, be there with me taking a test and reading the things to me, I probably would have done a whole lot better in school. But, you know, I to see that acceptance letter and, you know that was a good possibility that I could have gone. But like I said, finances just were not in the play for me. I sat upon it. I talked to a couple of friends who were broadcasters and in major market stations in the Cleveland market. And, you know, I really enjoyed listening to them and their stories and how they got into their career. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to attempt to go to this broadcasting school and see what happens. And voila, you know, I did. And it was challenging. It was different. It was unique. And, you know, like I said, I got an internship at WOBL. That was my first internship. And then I got a internship with WQMX out in Akron, which is a medium-sized market station, also country. But then the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was opening, and they came to our school, and they were looking at people to, you know, be in the broadcasting booth at that time.
Oh, great.
So, you know, they picked a couple of us that they felt that was reliable showing up and doing the job that needed to be done. And so those were kind of like my stepping grounds to kind of, you know, get my feet wet in what field I really wanted to go in. And, people always wonder, you know, because when I went to broadcasting school, you also learn TV. You learn it all.
Oh, yeah.
And I was more of a person who didn't want to, and this is kind of funny, I know, I didn't want to be on screen. I wanted to be behind the scenes. And I felt, okay, you know, radio's then where I felt comfortable and everything, because I could be, goofy, silly, fun, sad, and nobody nobody has to see me, you know?
And you don't have to get dressed up.
And you don't have to dress up, right, exactly. So, I mean, it was different. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, not too long after I was already just interning at OBL, they had offered me the overnight on the weekends. So I wasn't even out of school. And so that was kind of like, oh, wow, really? You know, I'm like 18 years old. I'm like, I already work in radio? And they're like, well, you are working in radio. You know? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wow, you know? Overnights. Overnights, and then you still had to go to school.
Yeah, overnight still was considered as an intern. I still did my other internships and another job to pay for school. So I guess I always like to stay busy.
Well, it's a great experience to learn. I mean, you want to think that there's as many people listening, but if you make a mistake, I don't know what your overnight time was, but if it was, you know, AM hours, you hope there aren't as many people that are going to notice every time you make a mistake. Not that you did, but I think it would be less stressful.
Believe me, I did, and I still do today. I'll be probably the first one to admit, oh, that was just terrible. I did the midnight to 6, actually, and my first time on the air, my folks actually stayed up the whole 6 hours and recorded the whole show.
Oh, wow.
So I still have those tapes. So, yes, those do exist, and it will be – I will share it with very few people to get them to understand. I was never like what I am now. I was very soft-spoken. It was kind of funny. My mom and dad were like, you have to remember, you're keeping people up at night. You need to be your normal energy, you know. And it took me a while. Let's just put it that way.
Wow. That's that would be fun. I tell you, all that I was taught about radio was push a button until you hear something, and then I was alone in the whole station. So that's kind of what my rule is: just keep pushing buttons until I can hear something, because then probably somebody can hear it. So I didn't have much learning. I wish I did. I wish I knew something about it. And that's why I borrow things that you know, and I listen to what you say, and I just think and being on the air for 26 years in the field of radio broadcasting is phenomenal. I mean, because it's a really tough from what I know, it's a really tough row to hoe. It's hard. 26 years is incredible.
Yeah, it is, and I mean there's been times where, you know, when I've stepped to a different station just for a little bit to kind of see how that would go. Plus I moved down to Tennessee for a while, worked at a station and a record label for some time at the same time. And, you know, nothing is like, cause even then I was still doing stuff for WOBL, and that is my home. You know, WOBL is the home station for my shows, and I may be syndicated in that, but you know, my main hub is always going to be there. And the wonderful thing about that is it's a family-owned business. You're not working with a corporation that owns it.
Okay.
You're working with a family-owned company, who are corporated, obviously. But you know, it's family. You know, and you know everybody that works there. You know the owner. I mean, I worked for the founder of our station, Harry Wilbur, when he started the station. We're celebrating the 50 years. And to look at that 50 years, and I've been there, you know, 26, it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
I think, Michelle, you found a home.
Mm-hmm.
I think you found a home.
I think so.
I think so. After 26 years, I think you found a home, and good for you. So the Sunday show, is that the one that you mentioned the names, the daytime show, and then the Sunday, is that the Bluegrass? Help me out on that.
Yeah, Sunday is the Bluegrass Borderline, and Monday through Friday is my show called the Smoke Country Jam.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of neat. And what's cool about it is I've kind of marketed now where they're both together just a little bit more so in the last year, thanks to lessons and learning of Leadership Bluegrass, about how to market yourself and how to market your product. And, you know, one of my key things was, as much as I love doing interviews with artists, and, you know, and me and you have, you know, you've been a guest on my Real Talk.
Yeah, Real Talk, a whole other thing, yeah.
But, you know, I thought, well, I could just put it all together. So it's kind of like merged together, but they're still separate. To give the artist and the listeners a taste of bluegrass a little bit in the week. If they don't get a chance to catch it on the weekend, it's nice to have the artist be able to join me then as well. Because, you know, some of the classic country artists, unfortunately, are no longer with us.
Right.
But still hearing from, you know, the 80s and 90s country artists is awesome. But throwing some of the little bluegrass artists in for a conversation during the week is very nice. Because then they are like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, Michelle does that show on Sundays.
That's
gotta
right.
tune in.
Yeah, yeah, it's cross-marketing is the technical word. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And there's so many I hear stories of, and, of course, I wasn't around then, but when there wasn't a bluegrass label, it was just all part of country. And that whatever marketing in record stores or radio stations separated things out. But, you know, certainly, I guess depending on the kind of country. But, yeah, there's a lot of great bluegrass tunes that would fit right in there with the artists. Not just modern artists, but, I mean, a long time ago they were doing things that were just basically country with different instrumentation. There's lots of that.
Of course. Yes, definitely.
Wow. That's exciting. That's exciting. I have to tell people to follow Michelle Lee on social media because she's always doing we can get a weather report. You can see how much ice there's built up in the lake. I get a kick out of it whenever I see them popping up. I think, man, I don't live that far north by a long shot. But you have much more ice build up around your coastline. Every once in a while, you guys thinking, I was thinking, don't step too far out. Because I'm afraid you're going to step your foot in.
Oh, yeah. You got to be very cautious when you get out there. And that's for sure. Don't worry. I never go out on it. That's for, you know, I go only so far to the edge of the break wall because I know where that is. But right now you can't see the break wall. You definitely have to be cautious when you step out by the lake. But, of course, you know, during the summer and the sunsets are just spectacular, you know. Even now it's a spectacular sight to see how the lake freezes and that. Because we're, you know, where I'm at, we're in the, like, the dip part of Ohio up there where we're kind of, like, get the last of the freezing of the lake.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes the time to kind of show up. And it kind of was amazing the week of the day that I was out there last week. Monday, it was roaring waves. I mean, they were just huge, pounding. And then the next day, a little calmer. And then all of a sudden, the ice was starting to form and show up, you know. And it's amazing to see how that kind of happens. And I'm very fortunate to live close to Lake Erie and have that opportunity to see both during all the seasons, all four seasons.
See, and I'm talking to Michelle Lee, a very accomplished radio broadcaster. I lived and have grown up my entire life within a couple miles of the Ohio River, but river life is whole different than the lake. And you talk about the waves, and, you know, the river just rolls. Sometimes it gets high, sometimes it goes down, sometimes there's a little bit of flooding. But I think the lake, it's like living by the ocean.
It is.
I mean, when I've been there, it's like, that's a lake?
Well, it's kind of funny, like, and here's a little educational thing. Because, you know, when I would do my Facebook Lives at the lake during the summer, several artists would hop on there and be like, where are you at now? And I'm like, at Lake Erie? And they're like, okay, we've got to look for that. And it's like, it's a great lake that actually ends up flowing into the Niagara River that flows into the Atlantic Ocean.
There you
so
go.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
That's right.
It's where I'm at. And when I'm at the lake, that's literally the end of the United States of land before you get into the water, before you get to Canada.
Canada, yeah.
So it's kind of as it's... I guess in my mind, a nice little history, you know, piece of info.
I like it. I like it. Listen, and I have to. And I'm so happy to talk to Michelle Lee, and we communicate often. And I figured we need to talk on the air, but I can't let you go without saying that you are, and you wouldn't want me to. That in 2019, you were the International Bluegrass Music Association Broadcaster of the Year, and I congratulate you for that wonderful event. I'll bet you there's not a day goes by that you don't maybe walk past or think about. What a great honor.
Oh, it is a phenomenal honor, and to receive it from you was another highlight in that as well, because, of course, you know, you took it in 2018, which, you know, it was sweet that you took the time to drive out to Raleigh and be able to be the one to present it to me.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And I will tell the audience this, too. I saw you that morning because I really drove down that evening thinking, mm-hmm. I had a feeling you were going to win. I didn't know. I really had no idea. And I saw you that morning, and I said, oh, I drove down here 8 or 9 hours to get here to give you this award. And I walked away thinking, what a stupid thing to say, because I don't know that she's going to. But for some reason, I had a feeling, and I thought, I want to be there when that happens. And it was just a feeling that I had. And I was felt mm-hmm. so good when I opened that envelope. I thought, boy, you know, it was just a great. It was such a touching. I think there was, as I recall, was your father ill at the time? Tell me, take me back a little bit.
Yeah, he was. I was actually already on the road, and I actually stopped at my mom's sister's in Virginia 2 days before heading down into Raleigh. And he didn't want to tell me that he wasn't feeling it because he didn't want me to not come. He didn't want me to not show up in Raleigh. Mm. So he kind of kept it to himself. I knew he wasn't feeling so well, but to the extent where, you know, he kept on playing out, I'm just not feeling good today. I'm okay. You know, I feel all right, you know. And I happened to be talking to one of my sisters. I'm the youngest of 10. So, you know, we got a lot of check-ins.
Yeah, really.
And I was talking to my sister, who's just a couple years older, and she goes, by the way, you know, Dad's really not feeling well. I just got off the phone with him, and I was like, he didn't say anything to me. She's like, yeah, he didn't want me to tell you, but you know me, I can't keep things like that from you. And which is true, and I'm very grateful she didn't. And, you know, I mean, my thing was like, okay, obviously, I was thinking after Thursday, you know, and I kept tabs on him. I called him, like I always do when I travel, I call him every day and see how he's doing in that. And I, even when I won, and I called him, I was like, do you want me to come home now? And he's like, no, celebrate, have fun. You know, you got my other sister who does live close to where we are. You know, she's there with him and everything. So everything was okay. But, yeah, he ended up having surgery a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. And that he actually had, they thought was only like an 80% blocked artery, but it actually was 99% blocked.
Wow.
So, but he's still with us.
Good, good.
And that going strong and everything. But, yeah, that was, you know, and like I said in my speech, you know, the person who was one of my biggest influences and encourager was my mom, you know. And, of course, she passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able, you know, to receive something that she was such a huge encouragement for in what I did. It was just a great honor to honor her as well.
Were you wearing that night, that day, were you wearing, why do I think this? I it was a very touching speech, and I remember a lot of it, but were you wearing clothing or something that?
Yeah, so okay. The shirt, the white sparkly kind of like shirt underneath my black, actually was my mom's.
Yeah.
She actually wore that in a family photo when I was only 3.
Wow.
And that was one of the pieces of that outfit that fit me perfectly. And, you know, it was one of those things. To have her with me, I wanted to wear something of hers.
That was sweet.
And then later on in the evening, I switched to an all-black casual dress slack outfit. And the necklace I was wearing was hers.
Oh,
she's always with me.
She's always with you. What a beautiful story. Michelle Lee, I'm so happy to call you a friend of mine. I'm so impressed with what you do at the radio station at WOBL, and I have to be careful, WOBL, and you've been doing it for so long. It's such a testament to your skill and the craft, and you're still going strong. And gosh, I hope we get to the point where we can all get together, and you know, the COVID thing has passed enough that you and I can go to concerts and festivals if we want. And if we want to, we could say hi to each other if we see someone. But right now, nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah, it you know, during this pandemic, this has been a whirlwind situation. I mean, a lot, like I said, I like being busy, you know, and that kind of sparked the conversation with Sammy Passamano back in January before this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He approached me about doing an online TV show, and I was like, I don't know, because, like, again, going back to when I went to broadcasting school, I was all about wanting to be behind the scenes, you know, behind the mic, not in front of the camera, and I was like, I'm going to have to think about this. So it was probably, like, 2 weeks before I left for Nashville for Leadership Bluegrass mm-hmm. that I said, all right, Sammy, when I get back, you know, we'll make this thing happen at some point, somehow, and I said, I'll meet up with you in Nashville, and we'll kind of make a plan for Real Talk Bluegrass, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that came to life in June. I mean, it's a great outlet, not only for myself, to challenge myself to do something more, and be a little bit more in front of the camera. Not people are like, what? You love being in front of the camera because you're always on Facebook. But but this is a little, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
And I think the setting for it is so unique, and it kind of helped everybody come together during the pandemic.
Yeah, perfect.
Because, you know, you could do that social distancing, obviously. Me and you have done it with Aaron, and,
yeah.
You know, it was a great fun, and I can't believe we're already in the season two of it.
And that's Thursday night, is that right?
That is Thursdays. It happens twice a month.
Okay.
And, you know, we have some good fun, and you just never know what's going to come out
blast.
Of my mouth.
No, it's a blast. It's very informal, and it's a lot of fun to see, and I had a blast because I know Aaron well, and I've got to know you over the last couple of years. So it was like a very friendly thing for me, and I appreciate the offer, but I want to make sure we know when that is and all the things that Michelle Lee is doing, and she's going to keep doing and keep expanding, and I'm so glad you had time to chat with me for Unreal Bluegrass.
Well,
I've enjoyed this thoroughly.
Oh, I appreciate you, Steve, and all that you do, and keeping great bluegrass music alive there on Unreal Bluegrass as well. And, you know, you're always welcome to be a guest always with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to seeing you. Maybe we could get that chili someday soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you ever had Cincinnati chili?
I have, but it's been a long time.
So, all right. If you only had it once and it was a long time ago, that tells me you didn't like it. Because you've driven through the city enough. But
I know.
Wolf, it's everywhere. It's on every corner without naming a brand. We'll find it, and I'll get you re-indoctrinated into that.
It sounds like a plan.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle Lee. I really enjoyed it. Thanks. Keep doing what you're doing so well.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.